those needs in our soul can only be met by a person and never by a superficial human tonic.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Every one of us needs to make certain that we have entered into a shepherd-sheep relationship with the Lord. And then we can expect to capitalize on the benefits of that relationship, as they're identified here in Psalm 23. And there are three concepts that stand out to me with respect to this issue of restoration. I shall not want for restoration. He restoreth my soul. Now, I don't know what you see in that phrase, but there are three things that I see. The first thing I see is the source of restoration. He restoreth my soul. And that's a reference to the Good Shepherd. That's a reference to the Lord. And that's the only place where I can expect to find any kind of meaningful restoration to life. He, a personal union with an individual, with God. And that's the implication of that phrase. He restoreth my soul. The second thing that I see in that phrase, beyond the source of restoration, is the scope or the substance of it. And it comes from analyzing that word restoreth and thinking through the implications of it. And David says he restoreth. Shuv is the Old Testament Hebrew root there, the Old Testament verb. And as I study that word, and as I study the concept in the context of the Old Testament and the Psalms, I think there's a twofold implication of that word. Let me share it with you as quickly as I can. The first thing that comes to my mind is a casualty. The very term restoration implies a casualty. David kind of makes reference to this concept in Psalm 42 and verse 11. I'll read it to you. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And I want you to get a connection here. Those two ideas go together. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Psalm 42, 11. And he restoreth my soul. Psalm 23, verse 3. The figure being cast down is an exact parallel in the shepherd's care of his flock of sheep. Every shepherd knows what a cast sheep is. A cast sheep is a sheep that has somehow rolled over on its back, lost its sense of equilibrium, and is forced to remain there with its feet and legs extended, being quite incapable of righting itself. It's rolled over on its back and cannot get up, cannot right itself. That's a very delicate position, and it's a very dangerous position to be in. We have a casualty, and what he needs is restoration, and only the shepherd can provide that. But I want to go a step further. I want to analyze with you for just a moment, right out of the flock of sheep, three causes for becoming a cast sheep. These are the ideas that I believe are inherent in this word restoreth. What are the causes for which a sheep becomes cast? One, let me give them to you. One, complacence. First of all, complacence. Now, you know, there's a spiritual parallel there. More than one Christian has brought himself into a pathetic circumstance by his complacency. Not only complacency, but also encumbrance. Not only because of his pursuit of comfort and ease, but also because of the corruption that is attached to his anatomy. An encumbrance is that which holds him back, which burdens him down. Occasionally, the sheep will develop too heavy a fleece, and it will become heavily matted with mud, quite frankly, with manure, burrs, and other debris. In such a condition, the sheep is again easily susceptible to becoming cast or overthrown. There's an unbelievable amount of additional weight attached to his fleece. It's corruptive attachment. The only solution for the shepherd is to shear the sheep. And that is a procedure which is most unwelcome by the sheep and requires a good deal of effort on the part of the shepherd, but it is essential to the sheep's well-being. James could say, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness." Lay apart, set it aside. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. David is saying some of us need a good shearing. We need a removal of the mud and the manure, the burrs and the debris of the old way of life. Without that shearing, we may remain Christians. We may remain in the flock, But we will squander the great potential, the way of life that God has given to us. We'll wad it up and throw it away as though it has no meaning. There's a third reason why a sheep becomes cast, and that's what I call affluence, capital. The third chief cause of cast sheep is simply that they're too fat. They're affluent. Overfat sheep are neither the most healthy nor the most productive, but they are the most cast. Their weight simply makes it impossible for them to be agile and nimble on their feet, and so they become cast more often than any other kind of sheep. The conscientious shepherd takes stringent measures to reduce the weight of the sheep and thus provide for the health and the safety of the sheep. Now let me just say this, perhaps the most subtle form of worldliness in our day and age, which has invaded the Christian community is the temptation to materialism and affluence. In our generation, we have produced a mentality of abundance wherein everything is to be judged on the basis of whether or not it leads to abundance. Does it give me plenty? Does it make me rich? Everything else must give into this. Absolutes of all kinds, ethical principles, everything must give into affluence and selfish personal pursuit. You know, there are some godly Christian businessmen who won't yield up those absolutes and those ethical principles, but I want to say this in all honesty, sometimes the most dangerous adjective that you can attach to the word businessman is the word Christian. Now, that's a travesty in our day and age. If he's a Christian businessman, sometimes you can't trust him. What a devastating indictment against our values and our way of life. We yield up absolutes and ethical principles in our pursuit of affluence. I think that is the most subtle form of worldliness. We're separated in so many areas, and we ought to be. We dress right, and we look right, and we don't do the wrong things, and we do the right things, so to speak. But sometimes when it comes to the application of Christian values in a business context, or in our pursuit of wealth and affluence, the absolutes and the ethical principles come down. And in that circumstance, we're susceptible to becoming cast sheep, and we're openly accessible to the predator, that roaring lion who's called Satan, who wants to destroy us and render us non-effective. I think the effect of affluence upon our spiritual vitality has been devastating. We say no too often. I'm speaking in general terms here now, because there are many people who do the right thing in this context. We say no to nothing, and we demand everything, and we want it now. Like the Laodiceans, we are in danger of rearing a generation of Christians who will say, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And Jesus will have to say to us, as he said to them, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Spiritually. You know what the great danger of affluence is? It's threefold. The great danger of affluence is, number one, it encourages a false dependence. Number two, it shackles a man to this earth. And number three, it tends to make a man selfish. Those are the great dangers of affluence. Number one, it encourages a false dependence. If a man is well supplied by this world's goods, he is very apt to think that he can deal with any situation that comes along. He'll depend on his resources, not on God. That's a false dependence. It'll shatter him when the whirlwind comes. It shackles a man to this earth. Where your treasure is, Jesus said, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in your investments in this earth, that's where your heart will be, Matthew 6:21. A man can become so absorbed with the earthly things that he forgets altogether the heavenly things. Tends to make a man selfish. However much a man has, he only wants a little bit more. You ask a rich man sometime, how much is enough? You know what he'll tell you? Just a little bit more. That's the way it is. It tends to make a man selfish. And it also tends to fill his life with worry. Did you know that? The more you have, the more you have to lose. And a man's life, so far from being filled with security when he becomes financially wealthy, is filled with insecurity and anxiety. You might lose it all. The great danger of affluence. It makes a man proud, provincial, and possessive. It encourages a false dependence. It shackles a man to this earth. It tends to make a man selfish. What are the three causes of becoming cast sheep? Complacence. You know, Christians were never intended to rust out. They were intended to burn out. Complacence. Laziness, slothfulness. We want the easy way, the soft place. Complacence, encumbrance, the corruptions of this world, the superfluity of naughtiness, the carryovers from the old way of life, which to in principle we said no, but in practice we carry them with us. And then affluence, embracing the wrong system of values. Now, David says, the sphere in which God does this work is in my soul. In other words, God always works from the inside out. God says, you have a spiritual dimension to your anatomy. And that spiritual dimension is absolutely essential and foundational and fundamental. It's the most important part of your anatomy. And that's the part you have the most tendency to neglect. When I do a work in your life, I'm not going to do it from the outside in. I'm going to do it from the inside out. I'm going to impregnate your dead human spirit with the life of my Holy Spirit. And then day by day, I'm going to nurture and expand that as I feed it through the principles of Scripture. And as you open your hearts and your mind to those principles and expose yourself to them on a regular basis, I'm going to nurture and expand that. I am going to do a work in that spiritual dimension. Down where it really counts, where the things really matter. David says, he does this in my soul. God says, you are material, you're made out of the dust, and you're spiritual. God breathed into you the breath of life. You're material and you're spiritual. And you know, the tragedy of sin is this. The tragedy of sin is that it teaches a man to live by the material impulses of his nature instead of by the spiritual impulses. David says, the good shepherd does a work down in my soul, in that spiritual dimension, and he brings a dimension of life into my being that was never there before. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. So David says, he wants us to understand clearly, the solution to our deep inward spiritual needs, those needs in our soul, can only be met by a person and never by a superficial human tonic. It might be physical, it might be chemical, it might be financial, it might be psychological, it might be sensational. None of those things will work. It comes from a person, not a tonic. Have you ever trusted that person, Jesus Christ, as your own Lord and Savior? Have you ever received him at a point in time? David says, your deepest needs, the things that amount to something, the things that really count, your deepest needs will never be met until you open up your heart to that person. He restoreth my soul. David would instruct those of us who are Christians. There's a message for you and me here, primarily for you and me. We're the sheep of his fold. And he teaches us this, our spiritual equilibrium. We want to maintain our balance and move forward for Christ. Our spiritual equilibrium and our great spiritual potential can be upset and totally forfeited as a result of any one of three things: complacency, becoming lazy and soft. Encumbrance, the corruptions of the old way of life still integrated into this new way of life. Affluence, embracing the values, being enamored with the values of this world instead of God's world. Are these the things that we allow to abound in our lives? Have we become lazy and soft? Have we become loaded down with the ugly things? Our fleece matted with corruption? Have we become enamored with the values of this world? Then we can expect we'll become cast sheep and openly accessible to the invasion and influence of the evil one. And we'll squander all that God intended for us to have.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.